This is our capstone document of all the standards and guidelines we've been working on since 2003. This one is the capstone, which brings all of the other standards and guidelines together, and it really takes a fresh look at managing risk at the enterprise level. It's more of a strategic focus than the traditional tactical focus, which we've been using for many, many years. For the past three decades, most of our security work has been done at the system level, chasing one vulnerability after the next. And there's an endless supply of these vulnerabilities, and we never really get ahead of the game. So 8 or 39 takes a fresh perspective and says, how do we end up with the systems that we do, with the vulnerabilities that end up being in these systems? And can we do a better job going back early in the life cycle, all the way back to the organization governance level? Can we develop a risk management strategy that works through our enterprise architecture, a security architecture, and actually can influence the kinds of systems that are developed in order to support those missions and business processes that we have to carry out. So it's a different way of looking at the problem.
So and it's a very different way of looking at risk and coming to the assessment about risk, which is really step one in the whole security process.
That's correct. And the importance of the we introduced a new approach. It's a three-tiered risk management approach. It's three tiers, being the organization level, which provides the governance with regard to risk management and information security. Tier two is the actual mission business process layer. And then we finally get down to tier three, which is the system layer. And the tier one, it provides a very important part of the problem that I think we haven't been focusing as heavily on in the last few years. The risk management strategy asks some very important questions. How is the enterprise going to assess risk? What kind of tools, techniques, procedures are they going to use? And once they run those tools and techniques and procedures and they find out what risks they have, how do they evaluate the severity of those risks? And what's the risk mitigation strategy going to be? How much risk is enough? In other words, what's the risk tolerance for the organization? And the most important part is, how do you monitor risk over time? Because the risk that you accepted today most likely won't be the same risks tomorrow, because the environment of operations, the threat space, hardware, software, firmware, all these things are changing in a very dynamic way. So that's the risk strategy is really critical to making sure we get better systems out the back end.
Well, and the other part that seems very interesting to me is that that process involves not just techie folks. This gets it outside of just the IT organizations.
That's the most critical part of the new document. It elevates the risk management strategy to the strategic level, and everything starts with senior leaders and executives. And at that level is where the folks that can really make a difference. This influences the procurement process. Which missions are the most important, and what kind of mission business processes are developed to make sure that we can carry out those core missions in a safe and secure way. And all of these decisions have to be made very early in the life cycle, and when we do that, we can influence through enterprise architecture and through things like security architectures. We can influence how our systems end up being constructed. How do we put our products together in these very complicated systems to make sure that we have a level of risk that's tolerable for the organization, given the very sophisticated threat space that we're dealing with today. The advanced persistent threats are very severe today.
One of the more interesting parts of this is actually how it was created, because it was done in a very collaborative way.
Well, this is the fourth publication in what we call the Joint Task Force Transformation Initiative. This started back in 2006. NIST went into a partnership with the Department of Defense and the intelligence community, all 16 agencies under the Director of National Intelligence, and the objective was to take all of our disparate standards and guidelines across all three of these very important communities and bring them together into a unified information security framework that can help manage risk across the federal government at large. And so we've been working since that time. We produced three publications. This is number four. Some of the previous ones include a unified catalog of security controls, standard ways to assess controls to see if those controls are effective within organizations. And then we have the new CNA process now that's characterized as part of the risk management framework. And all of these publications now are coming together under this capstone document, which is the 800-39. And this document brings them all together from the strategic perspective and tries to bring each one of those other publications in at the right time to do the right things for the organization.
How do you get this out there so people understand it? Because this is, talk about change management. This is a pretty big, significant change in how people think about risk management and how that their approach to cybersecurity.
Well, that's a great question, because education, training, and awareness, we do a tremendous amount of outreach at NIST, going to the different federal agencies. We go out to private sector organizations. Our primary vehicle right now is to create some PowerPoint presentations that we will use to make available to our customers on the website, try to introduce them a little bit at a time to some of the new concepts, and so they can work their way into the document gradually. Again, information security and risk management is always a difficult and challenging area. The work never seems to end, and we try to get our customers into these different publications a little bit at a time so they can implement them in an effective way.
How do you get folks to actually, because it requires making decisions, and I guess I'm in the WikiLeaks mode where people say, well, everything, we can't let anything out. What you actually have to do is make decisions about, hold on, what is really important? What's really sensitive stuff? And that can be a difficult assessment to make.
It can be difficult, but people do it every day. And this is where the three tiers come into play, because at tier number one, with the governance layer, the organization layer, that's where organizations define their core missions and business functions, business operations, things that they are required to do, and they prioritize those. Every organization has many missions they carry out, and they're not all of the same level of importance. So prioritizing your missions and then the information that is associated with those different missions and business processes, that also has a certain level of sensitivity and criticality. And we can't protect everything at the same level, so we really do have to make decisions on what is the most critical information. How are we going to support those business processes to make sure our core missions are carried out effectively? And then that drives our protection regimen. That drives the safeguards and countermeasures that we deploy, not just in a single system, but across all systems and the infrastructure, the environment of operations that includes things like management and operational controls, which have nothing to do with technology in most cases.
How do you hope that folks actually use this document? What's sort of step one? Because, as I say, a fairly significant change, mindset change in here.
I hope that people will go into the document, read the first couple of chapters first. They're not very long chapters, and that really gives you an overview of what we call the strategic risk management focus. And then I would hope that folks would take a look at how their current information systems are procured and deployed. What is the current decision-making process that drives the systems they have today? And take a look at some of those things that happen at Tier 1 and Tier 2 and see if they can influence how the systems are built and developed based upon a re-looking at some of the things that happen at Tier 1 and Tier 2. These things are difficult and challenging problems to begin with, and you can't get all the way down the road, in one fell swoop, so to speak. You've got to take it a little bit at a time. But I think that these things can be taken in a very stepwise process to make a little progress every step of the way.
And it seems like taking that strategic view, that's really the first step here.
It is, and in chapter three, we have the actual risk management process, which talks about the three main steps are assessing risk, responding to risk, and then monitoring risk. And there's some tough decisions. You know, based upon the threat space today, the advanced persistent threat, again, is very sophisticated. Taking a very serious look at the threats that are out there, and how does the organization actually deploy their IT assets? There's a concept we talk about in the new document called wise use of technology. And what that means is that before people just bring in new technologies, take a serious look at the risks that come into the organization based upon deploying that new technology. And sometimes we find that these vulnerabilities that we end up with, that we can't do much about them because the technology, they're kind of hardwired into the technology, the way we're using the IT assets today. So in some cases where you have very critical missions and business operations, you might want to take a look at how the technology is supporting those areas and make some changes so you take those threats off the table completely, so adversaries won't have an opportunity to exploit and to cause the missions and business processes to go south.